Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. Sharing the good news through broadcast television and Charis Bible Colleges worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am starting a brand new series, and I'm going to be talking about harnessing your emotions. I tell you, this is powerful. This is one of the most requested teachings that we've ever had. It just hits a nerve with people. Everybody has emotions, and sadly, most people struggle with their emotions. Most people are not in control of their emotions. Their emotions are in control of them. And that is not what the Word of God teaches. I'm going to be sharing some things with you that has the potential of just transforming your life. This is one of the keys, really, to walking with the Lord. And I know that most people wouldn't phrase it that way. Most people would think, well, emotions, yes, they're important. Nobody wants to be sad or bothered or fearful or any of these things, but they would just count so many other things more important. But one of the points that I'm going to be making, I won't prove this today, but I'll just give you a tease, is that the Scripture says that you conceive sin in your emotions. Emotions are where you conceive things. Now, that is a huge statement right there, and I will be expanding on this a lot more. But this elevates emotions to a level that it's not just a byproduct. It's not just something that you wish that they would be good and stuff. You are literally driven by your emotions. And I could spend a lot of time making this point. Hopefully everybody will relate to this without me having to go into a lot of explanation. But you know, if you get angry at somebody, it just affects everything. It affects the relationship. It can affect the way you sleep. It can affect your health. If you have unforgiveness, things like this. Likewise, on the opposite extreme, the Scripture says a merry heart does good like a medicine. You know, having joy and peace is healthy. It's beneficial to you. Even the medical profession will come along and show you that when you're under stress and depression, that this suppresses your immune system, makes you more susceptible to things. There have been some studies that link your emotional state to whether or not you can overcome cancer and things like this. There's a classic study that was done a long time ago, I think it would have been in the 60s or maybe 70s, somewhere around there, about a medical doctor who actually was diagnosed with cancer. And because he had dealt with so many cancer patients and had seen how severe the treatments were and things like this, he just decided he wasn't going to go that medical route. And he believed that there was a link between your emotions and your health, and that scripture about a merry heart does good like a medicine. And what he did was just rent, or I don't know how, you know, this has been a long time ago. I don't know if it's VHS or whatever. But anyway, he started watching old comedies. I mean, slapstick comedies type things. And he just every day overdosed on this. And I forget the period of time, but within a relatively short period of time, he totally recovered from cancer and overcame by just having a merry heart. Does good like a medicine. And he wrote books on this, and he became famous and went around and publicized this. So anyway, my point is that I don't think anybody just, you know, wants bad emotions, but they don't necessarily place the importance on emotions that I think we need to. It's much more important than what most people realize. And here is another major thing, and this is going to be one of my major points that I'll spend all of this week developing and talking about from Scripture. That most people, even though they desire to be happy and joyful and forgiving and all of these kind of things, they desire this, but they don't feel any responsibility for their emotions. They don't feel like it's under their control. They don't feel accountable for their emotions. Now, somebody may on the surface disagree with that and say, oh, no, that's not true. But really, I don't know anybody that just gets up in the morning and prays that, God, I want to be depressed today. I want to be mad. I want to get angry. I want to have unforgiveness. I don't know anybody who desires that and moves in that direction by choice. And yet, when certain things happen to them, if somebody does something to them, if they're fired from their job, if they find out that their mate's going to divorce them, if somebody dies or something happens, they feel no accountability, no responsibility, no control over these emotions. They feel that emotions are just a byproduct of whatever happens to you. And that is not true. Now, I've already bothered some people. I may be upsetting you and affecting your emotions, but I'm telling you, sometimes before you can get a person well, you got to lance a wound. You got to do something that may cause some pain, draw this poison out that's causing the problem. And I'm telling you, we've got a lot of wrong thinking about our emotions. The scriptures, and I'm going to be sharing in detail on this. I'll just give you an overview. But there are scriptures that command you to rejoice, even in hard times, even when everything has gone wrong. And it would have been totally unjustified and wrong on God's part to command us to do something that we can't do. Psychology has crept into our society today, and sad to say, it is even penetrated and it is nearly dominant in Christianity today. And there are a lot of attitudes in psychology that I believe are very detrimental. You know, I'm not against psychologists. I've got people here on staff that have a degree in psychology and they're doing things and helping people. I'm not against that. I got friends that have practices and have been doing this for years. There are Christian psychiatrists who are trying to help people, and I'm not saying that everything to do with that is wrong, but I don't have an axe to grind. I'm not against anybody, but I'm just warning you and telling you that we have adopted attitudes that are diametrically opposed to what Scripture teaches, and most of it comes from psychology. And so I am going to be countering a lot of things that psychology teaches. I'm going to be going against the norm of a lot of different things. But just look at it this way. How many people today are enjoying a really healthy emotional life? I don't think that anybody, I don't think there's a single person watching this program that would say that people are in a better emotional state now than they were a generation ago or two generations ago. I mean, we've got more luxury, we've got more prosperity, more opportunity, we've got more things going for us probably than any generation of people, and yet the suicide rate has gone through the roof. People are having to take a pill to go to bed, one to get up, to try and regulate things. People are emotionally unstable. And anyway, we could go on and on, but the emotional stability of people today is, I believe, much worse than it was a generation or two ago. And yet, you look at things, we should be much better. We got so many conveniences, so many things are so much easier. Our productivity has increased. We should be doing better, and yet we aren't. And I'm telling you, a lot of it is because of this psychology, wrong attitudes, the way that people are letting their emotions dominate and control them. They're immature emotionally, and they are forsaking the instruction of Scripture. They're going by the common thinking of the world, and it's producing death. And I'm telling you, we need to get beyond that. So I'm going to be countering a lot of stuff. And I believe that this could really be a huge, huge blessing to you. Let me just mention that we have a book on this entitled Harnessing Your Emotions, and I have CDs and DVDs by the same subject, that same title that we're offering. We're also offering a package. This is one of my most requested teachings right here, is Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief. That title kind of turns people off, but I have seen people's lives transformed through this teaching. We're also offering a teaching on anger management and one entitled How to Be Happy. And one of my employees came up with the Get a Grip package for the title of all of this. And I think we'll just use that. But I'm going to be sharing things with you that are going to make a huge, huge difference. You know, what I'd like to do right now is to play a testimony of Alan and Debbie Moore. And this is about, he had a massive stroke, and the very first thing that God used to turn this situation around, he spoke to Debbie and told her to harness her emotions. This teaching that I am going to start today literally caused this man to come back from the dead. And let me just briefly say this, that back in April of 2015, they had a car wreck, and Alan was killed in this car wreck. So the Alan that you'll see in this story is now gone on to be with the Lord. But he lived for many years after this testimony. And I just talked to his wife this morning. She works in our phone center. I asked how she's doing, and she is still harnessing her emotions. She is praising God, talking about everything is wonderful. She said her focus is on Jesus. And this woman has just lost her husband, and she's still praising God. This testimony just keeps getting better and better. Alan is now with Jesus. Debbie is doing great. And I want you to watch this as an introduction to this teaching on harnessing your emotions.
My husband and I have an awesome story to tell. Alan and I have been married for 18 years. He's truly the love of my life.
We love to go for walks, and that's what we do. We established from early in our marriage was going and talking and just learning to communicate with each other, being bound together in the Spirit and in the Word, you know, speaking the same, being of the same judgment, and just expectation of the goodness of God.
We have been partners and friends with Andrew for about 4 years, and we have been intently studying the Word.
We have just been going over and over again, Christian survival, the teaching by Andrew.
He has really spurred us on to know more about living in the spirit realm more than the natural realm. We have intently been listening to Andrew, listening to the teachings, getting that revelation to become our revelation.
John chapter 14, verse 1. Very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
July 15th, 2009, we came home from work, and we work a 10-hour shift, and we work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and it was about 104-degree temperature out there in July here in Texas, and Alan had popped his head in the door over there, and he said he was going to go out and move some dirt and said he'd be fine. And I felt like the Holy Spirit really was prompting me to go outside. So I ran down the driveway to find Alan on the ground, and he wasn't answering me. So when I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him, and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
After that, she goes and calls 911. I hear the ambulance is coming. Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
And Dr. Shindori became our doctor at that time, looking over Alan, and they then announced to me that he had had a major stroke.
Stroke means loss of blood supply to the brain. I obtained MRI scan of the brain and MR angiogram of the brain. So MRI scan of the brain is something that shows the brain tissue. MR angiogram shows the blood vessels in the brain. MR angiogram showed a blockage of a major blood vessel in the right side of the brain. The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke in the right side of the brain, which controls the left side of the body.
One third of his brain had not received blood.
So that area of the brain is permanently damaged. At that point, we were not very optimistic about the outcome.
And I realized at that point, this was severe, but I was in such peace that it just never moved me.
We received a call from Debbie Moore. She didn't sound frantic or anything, but she said, "Pastor Greg, I need you to come. Alan looks like he's had a stroke."
Alan and Debbie are just vital members of our church. Everyone loves Alan and Debbie. Everyone.
So my wife and I got in the car and drove over there to the hospital. Debbie just said, "Listen, I want you guys to stand with me. I lost one husband to cancer. I'm not losing this one to a stroke. He's coming out of this. I'm not going to have an invalid, handicapped husband."
Well, Alan and Debbie both became prayer ministers about 4 years ago here at KCM. The day that Alan had his stroke, I got a call from Debbie. There was no fear in her voice at all. She was just angry at the enemy for trying to take one that she loved. And she was very clear about that he was not going to get Alan.
Debbie would periodically, when thoughts would come to her mind, it was kind of humorous because she would just say no.
She would hold her head when any bad thoughts would come and she'd say, no, no.
My husband's not going to be crippled, and I'm not going to be feeding him through a straw, and I'm not going to be, we're not going to do that. And she was just talking to her mind, basically telling her mind, no, we're not going to do that. That's not the way it's going to be.
And I just, with her, just quote the word. We're not going to believe that.
She and Alan both were defaulting to the word. They didn't allow the circumstances to shape what they believed. There was a lot of reason in the natural to be concerned.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
He was paralyzed on the left side.
I'm not supposed to be able to use this left arm, this left leg.
He heard my voice, but he didn't see me.
He lost one half of sight from one eye and one half from the other.
And this is something that they said he would never recover from.
When I realized that his peripheral vision was gone, you know, it just really never dawned on me that it would stay permanent. I just opened my Bible and I said, God, I said, what is it that I need to know now? And he gave me Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And he said, Debbie, he said, you can do this carnally and bring death, or you can do this spiritually and bring life. And I drew the line right there, and I thought to myself, I'm going to do this spiritually and bring life. And I realized that all that we had put in was now all coming to benefit. It was all coming to fruit, you know, that we had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions, and I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control, and that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him because his life was in the balance, and I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free, and I knew it. I knew it would set everything free. All I had to do was stay with what I believed. I had to stay with my report. And my report trumped over their report every time.
She did not back down to the doctor's report. She heard those reports, but I heard one doctor say, ma'am, I don't think you're taking me seriously. She said, oh, I realize the seriousness of it. He said, I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it 30 years. Her answer was, Jesus has been healing longer.
Mrs. Morway, she didn't flinch, and she didn't seem to understand.
She was putting into practice the teaching that we'd had about harnessing your emotions. And so because she wasn't moved emotionally, they said, this woman doesn't understand.
And I said, yes, sir, I do. I said, I understand. I said, but by the stripes of Jesus, he's been healed and made whole. And he smiled at me and kind of gave me that little nod. And I said, you watch. On the third day, one of the nurses came into the room and she began to examine his eyes with a light. And she said, Mr. Moore, she said, follow the light that I have. So she started off where he could see it. And every place she took that light, so went his eyes.
They'd never seen anybody in the ICU gain their eyesight back that it lost it.
We had a picture hanging up of him in his room. And the day before he had the stroke, he had come out in a magazine.
At KCM, we have the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. And I have a copy of it here, which has a picture of Alan.
And so I put that picture up there, and every time he would wake up, I'd say to him, you look at that man, you look at how healthy he is, and that's exactly what you see.
The next day, he was moving his leg, he was moving his arm.
He grabbed my hand hard with his left arm. It was a left hand, it was a miracle.
Everything was starting to come back on him.
From then on, you could just see the strength coming back. He was doing better and better and better.
He started getting better, and he was moving the left side, you know, and speech was getting normal.
I could even notice my own speech starting to clear up. And then one day, I just got up and was going to go use the bathroom, and all the things that they'd hooked me up with just were falling off me. And
I walked into the room, and there's three big nurses standing around Alan, and they want to know how he got where he went.
I said, I don't know how you do it, but I walk.
And they said, but Mr. Moore, you don't understand. You don't walk. And he said, I don't.
And the ninth day, he went home basically walking.
When Alan got out of the hospital, he was out of the hospital in 9 days, and right after they got home, Debbie called me, and she said, he's ready to come back to work. Now, Alan came back to work. We expected him to take it a little bit easy, but Alan doesn't take it easy when he's praying. He goes right after it. Alan is, he hasn't missed a day of work since. He's never taken it easy. He's going full bore. His prayers are strong. He's a strong man, and I know that his spirit is stronger than it ever was.
When Alan came home from the hospital, we had to actually find a primary doctor, and Dr. Jeff Alling was willing to become our primary care doctor. And Dr. Alling goes to the church that we go to at the river, and he told us that he would gladly take Alan on.
He came in to me to follow up, and just of course, if I'd seen him just on a routine, if he hadn't have told me he'd had a stroke, I certainly would have never known he'd had a stroke.
He was amazed at Alan. He was amazed at that Alan could function the way he could function. I mean, Dr. Shindori had sent him all the reports, and he had sent him the x-rays and everything, and Dr. Alan was absolutely amazed.
With major strokes like Alan had, when you've lost most of your middle cerebral artery, or most of your middle cerebral artery's been occluded, I've never seen anyone recover as well as Alan has. Most people are weak on the affected side and drag their foot or can't use their arm or totally paralyzed. Even often they're totally paralyzed when they've had a stroke this significant. I've never seen anything like this.
In September, he was doing fine. He was basically totally independent. And I could not believe that somebody could get that much of improvement that quickly with that big stroke. So I thought that maybe he didn't have that much damage to the brain. Maybe early on we saw this big area, but maybe that was all, a lot of that was swelling in the brain, not actual destruction of the brain tissue. So I wanted to repeat the MRI scan and MR angiogram to see. And then the MRI scan showed basically again same thing, large area of basically a scar formation. There is no viable brain tissue there in the same area which we saw initially.
There's been no change between the first and second MRI, but the evidence that you have with Alan is that he's walking and talking just like a normal person who had never had a stroke.
So basically he had a massive stroke with the complete permanent damage to that area, but he made a miraculous recovery, so I don't know, I can't explain that.
We just walked out on that, hey, by his stripes we were healed. We just saw the progression, the power of God working in our lives.
Dr. Shindori showed Alan the large, massive stroke that he had had, and he said to him, all I can say is that your head does not match your body. He says, I don't understand it. He says, I don't understand anything about this. He says, but your head does not match your body.
I never saw anybody with that big stroke, with also clear-cut blockage of the blood vessel, going out of the hospital in 9 days, just walking. Never saw that in my 30 years, more than 30 years of neurology practice.
And so we just believe that 1 Peter 1:5 says that Alan's been kept by the power of God through faith. And he walks around today perfectly normal. He works a 10-hour shift 4 days a week.
Thank you for calling Kenneth Cope Ministry Prayer Line. My name is Alan, who am I praying with?
He's on the prayer line praying for people, speaking that word over them, giving them life.
In Jesus' name, amen.
He's completely healed and he's completely made whole.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm going to work hard, I'm going to work strong, and I'm going to do it in the Lord's strength. And so, praise God, we can see the results, we can see the victory, and so we'll continue to walk in that same way, knowing that God is a good God and his provision is abundant for every grace we need. Amen.
On today's program, Andrew showed the healing journey of Alan Moore. If you'd like to view this story again, you can see it in its entirety, along with many other healing testimonies, by going to our website at awmi.net. Andrew's complete teaching series titled Harnessing Your Emotions is available in a CD album, in a DVD album as seen on TV, or as a book. Each of these valuable resources is available for a gift of any amount. Or if you prefer, these resources are available as part of the Get a Grip package. This package includes your choice of either the Harnessing Your Emotions CD or DVD album, the Harnessing Your Emotions book, Andrew's book titled Self-Centeredness, The Source of All Grief, the teaching titled How to Be Happy in either a CD or DVD album, and Andrew's teaching titled Anger Management in a CD album. The Get a Grip package has a catalog value of $105, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for a gift of $75. Also, while supplies last, when you order this package, we'll include the custom-made Get a Grip mug that will remind you not to allow your emotions to rule over you. Go to awmi.net to order the Get a Grip package or any of Andrew's other ministry materials. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, Sin is Emotional. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We want to say a special thank you to the grace partners of Andrew Womack Ministries. Your gifts make it possible to put free ministry materials into the hands of many people in need. If you're not already a grace partner, we ask you to pray about becoming one. You can become a Grace Partner or order resources through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or call our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember, you can order ministry materials or become a Grace Partner 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of September, he'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson City, Tennessee, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference. In October, he'll be in Walsall, England, and in Cape Town, South Africa. And in November, he'll be in Louisville and Fort Worth, Texas. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
Want to view Gospel Truth and other videos from Andrew Womack Ministries on your television anytime you want? Well, now you can on Andrew's new Roku channel. Get instant access to hundreds of video teachings and testimonies at any time you desire. And all you need is a Roku player, your television set, and an internet connection.